Welcome to your new Hollywood. You get it? Got it? Good.
Welcome to episode 40, everyone, entitled, We'll Always Have Venice. Ha. Dan, do you know why I called this show We'll Always Have Venice instead of Pilot Pickups Continued?
It's possibly because of that Venice show you're so in love with.
Exactly. Yes. If our listeners can recall, last week we covered, Dan and I discussed the pilot pickups for ABC, and we weren't too wowed.
I'm still not wowed.
Yeah. But the one that stood out, at least for me, was Venice. I can't let it go. Excuse me?
It did not stand out for me.
It didn't stand out for
me. I still don't see what you're in love with.
I think I'm in love with McChee. Anything that McChee does, I want to know about. And I think he can hit it out the park.
All right.
Okay. You know, I mean, I don't know if our listeners will recall, but this was the pilot that took place in, the story takes place in Venice, California. And I believe it's the story of warring families a la Romeo and Juliet. And from what we knew, Jennifer Beals had been casted in it to play like a bohemian, you know, matriarch. And I'm curious, two feuding clans in Venice, California. Come on, get on board, Dan.
I'm going to pitch my show one day called Mount Olympus.
Oh, goodness.
It's going to be awesome.
He's already pitching it, people. What did I tell you? He's already pitching it, people.
Gated community.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, what can I tell you? So, anyway, we weren't too wild about ABC and what they had for their pilot pickups. But this week, we're covering Amazon Studios. Maybe, just maybe we'll find that little diamond in the rough, Dan. Hopefully we will. Maybe. But before that, we're going to tap into a little entertainment news. This is going to be a short one for us today in terms of entertainment news. First thing first, I want to give a big congrats to our former podcast guest, Amel Amin, because he has been casted in a new film that's going to be going into production in Louisiana called The Maze Runner. Have you read these series of books, Dan?
No, it sounded familiar. Yeah. I haven't read it, though.
Apparently, it's a post-apocalyptic story about, I guess, like, boys who somehow magically are transported to this maze. They have no idea why or how they got there.
And sounds like Running Man meets Hunger Games.
That or Lord of the Flies type of thing.
Okay.
Like a Lord of the Flies type of thing, I think. And I think it's somewhere during the story, at some point, a girl is dropped into the mix.
Woo.
And, you know, hijinks ensue. But I'm really excited, and I'm so happy for Amel, because he has actually been casted in The Butler, which will be coming out soon. And now all this press is rolling out about that as well. So, good for you, Amel. Secondly, photos of the shooting of the pilot for Beverly Hills Cop have come out. Have you seen them, Dan?
I have.
What do you think?
I don't think that needed to be made.
I'm curious to know how this is going to do. I'm worried. I'm worried that they're going to take something that I cherish so deeply. I love Axel Foley. I love his world. I love everything about it. And put some silliness on it. And I'm worried.
Why do I know Brandon T. Jackson?
Because he was in that film with the kid and Mount Olympus and, you know, Children of the Gods and, you know. He's a young comedian.
I assume you're talking about Percy Jackson.
Exactly. I can never remember the name, because what superhero is named Percy?
Percy Jackson? That's like one of the singers from The Temptation. Percy Jackson.
Well, that's Brandon T. Jackson. So he was in Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
If you recall, and he played that unusual character that had like a bottom, his bottom half was a goat.
Right.
Yeah. So he's playing the son of Axel Foley, and Eddie Murphy is going to reprise his role of Axel Foley. And, well, you know, Eddie's choices in the past few years have been kind of choppy.
Kind of.
Will it work out? I don't know. Well, that dovetails us into our pilot pickup chat. We'll be right back.
Like what you're listening to? Then shoot an email to podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com or leave a comment on our blog at yougetitgotitgood.com.
And we're back, everybody, and as promised, we are going to be diving into the pilot pickup offerings being bought by Amazon and Amazon.com, that is. And this is the first time we're going to be covering a streaming service, Dan.
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm kind of excited. Do you want to explain Amazon Studios and what's going on over there?
Yeah, Amazon Studios is basically setting up original programming for their Amazon Prime accounts. So they will be creating new pilots, I believe 5 new comedy pilots and 10 children's pilots, animated and all animated. Idea with Amazon to differentiate themselves from Netflix is that Amazon will only be producing pilots. They will then show them and see what responses they get and then decide which shows continue on from there,
mm-hmm.
which is super exciting for me because it's always been weird to me about pilot season is that, I don't know if you remember that, but it used to be when we were kids, but they used to show pilots in the middle of the summer.
Yes.
And and depending on what kind of response, the show would get picked up.
Wasn't that all part of the hype for the fall season, though, was to get you revved up?
I don't think so. I think this was just like, they were just like, dump them out on the air.
Okay.
I mean, there'd be very little anything. It was just, I remember like it being midsummer and like I'm just sitting at home because it was raining or whatever. And it was like, hey, a new TV show is on. And, you know, you'd watch, I don't know, Alice or something.
Right.
And then, you know, come that fall, suddenly that was an ongoing show.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of stopped. And it always was weird to me that so much money goes into producing, what is it, 120 pilots this year?
Yeah, 100.
Under 40?
40 some odd, maybe.
So all that money, you know, those pilots are easily in the upper six figures, seven figures. To produce all those pilots, but then only a very small number of people actually get to see them.
Right.
Never have any impact on the actual viewing audience. And it always seems strange to me that no one's ever tried going back to that model of actually putting them on the air during one of those dead periods, you know, that you normally have reruns and then seeing if they got any response at all, especially nowadays with all the social media, you would get all sorts of response on those things.
I'm just curious to know in terms of how much of an impact the people who do screen these on Amazon.com will have on the decision-making. You know, and I say that because the projects that are being brought to Amazon are being brought to them by people who are pretty much, you know, established in the business. When originally I thought that, you know, I mean, they have opened their doors to anyone who wants to submit. But most of the things that have been announced that are moving to pilot stage are being brought to us by people who are pretty much established.
Yeah.
So
this is the way they want to try it. I mean, you know, Amazon, they haven't been an entertainment entity. They've been a distributor, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix has been in entertainment, so you can kind of feel like they have some of the DNA. But with Amazon, they're coming into this new, and they've hired a lot of good people,
right?
And they're trying a different business model, which arguably makes more sense.
It does, and I'm excited about it. I mean, I've been pretty much been sent emails from them about storyboards for film concepts they've had in mind. And I've sat through those and filled out the surveys and things like that. I have not seen any pilots, though, and I'm eager to see these.
Yeah, that's the part I'm interested in, and I don't know, are they all coming at once, or are they going to space them out?
I don't know. I have no idea, but let's dive in. Let's see what they have here.
Start with Alpha House?
Yeah, Alpha House. This is a comedy. It's live action. According to Amazon, it centers around four senators who live together in Washington, D.C. And thus far, the only person that I know that's attached to it is John Goodman.
I feel like I've seen or read this pilot before, or some version of it before. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know me specifically. I live and die for pilot season.
Yes.
So
yes.
At this point, I've probably seen, good Lord, probably at least 1,000 pilots and pilot scripts in my professional career, at least. So a lot of these things start to feel very familiar after a while.
Well, you may have. I mean, this one was written by Gary Trudeau.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, with that kind of DNA in the script, it might be a really interesting take on the politics, at least for a comedy. I feel like Trudeau had done another sitcom and it turned out he's not as funny in TV.
But did you ever get a load of Tanner 88?
I think that was the show I was trying to remember, actually.
Okay.
I seem to remember thinking it wasn't as funny as I thought Doonesbury could be.
It wasn't. Well, Tanner 88 was a mockumentary, shall I say, that Gary Trudeau had written for HBO. It was probably one of their really early series, live action series that they had on. And I guess for all intents and purposes, it was a comedy. But it was a political comedy. And it wasn't as funny as, you probably want it to be. But then again, when you're 9 and watching something that's so way out of your target.
Yeah, although I don't think a lot of people disagreed with this.
Well, it became sort of a cult hit. But here he is again with another political series. So I'm eager to see what's going to happen. I mean, John Goodman can only bring something good to the table.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I mean, he hasn't really disappointed me in too much in the past 5 years, so.
Mm-mm, no. But Gary Trudeau, he hasn't really done much.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm curious. Hey, the man's a Pulitzer Prize winner. Let's give him a chance. We'll give you a chance, Gary, you young whippersnapper, you. The next one is Browsers.
Browsers.
Browsers. This is a live-action comedy. A live-action musical comedy. Set in present day, story of like five youngsters, not youngsters, but I guess like 20-somethings who work at a startup news website. It's a musical comedy.
Well, normally I would say BB New Earth, I'm watching it. I've never been disappointed by BB New Earth.
No, and we know that the woman has talent.
I unfortunately just saw a movie by Don Scardino, and now I'm like, I don't know if he can do a funny comedy anymore.
Okay, so. Well, Don Scardino has been hired to direct this pilot, but I don't know. I'm curious. I mean, look, Bebe Neuwirth can do no wrong. I mean, she's done Broadway. The woman can belt. She's very talented. The rest of the cast, I'm afraid I'm not familiar with them, but... I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah. He did Burt Wonderstone.
Okay.
That was not a funny movie.
Okay. Well, Don, you better bring it home or else Dan's going to come after you.
I do believe that BB will, in fact, rescue the material, though.
Okay. Let's hope so. She hasn't done, well, quote, television in a while. She hasn't done series in a while. So.
Well, she hasn't been series regular. She was just on The Good Wife.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, baby.
I missed it this week. I'm going to have to catch it on demand. Love that show.
Hey, like what you're listening to? should check out our blog at www.yougetitgotitgood.com. Or you can always shoot us an email at podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com.
All right, let's talk about Dark Minions, an animated comedy from Amazon. It's a workplace series about two slackers trying to get their paycheck on an intergalactic warship. Come on. A little something different here. It's coming to you from the people that brought you Big Bang Theory. I think I will watch this just because I'm curious to see if they can make it work. Mm-hmm. I've always liked those weird kind of sci-fi comedies, like about the garbage bin in space.
And, yeah. So it's any kind of like some irreverent sort of nerd like.
I like the stuff that kind of makes fun of nerd stuff without actually mocking them, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with, there's plenty to make fun of about science fiction without being harsh about it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this will be something like that, a little better.
Well, the setting sounds interesting. You know, you can only have nothing but adventure on an intergalactic warship.
That's true. And there's all sorts of things you're always wondering about in the back of your mind about those kind of shows.
Exactly. So
hopefully this will address them.
I'm not a big fan of animation, but hey. Okay, next up is Supernatural. This, again, is another animated comedy. It's about two really outspoken divas who, what is it? They're fighting against supernatural.
They're kind of like Buffy. They're the defense against the supernatural.
But in
the
mall.
Except they work in a mall. So what if Buffy was a slacker, basically?
What if Buffy was a slacker, lived and worked in a mall?
I mean, you know, I love Kristen Schaal. Every time she does a show, I have to watch it.
So. Yeah. She's hysterical. So, I'm looking forward to this one. It sounds funny. The next one is Those Who Can't. I believe this is live action. It's a comedy about three juvenile misfit teachers who are just as immature, if not more so, than the students they teach.
I just want to ask a question. So you're seeing a kind of pattern in these shows, right? It's like all kind of slacker comedy, millennials.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, is that a big audience for them?
Are you kidding?
Well, I ask because I know that they specifically are looking for shows based on their demographic information.
Right.
I mean, much like Netflix specifically did House of Cards because they found out that their subscribers love Kevin Spacey and Fincher.
Right.
It's just interesting, though, because when you go a little further and when we get to the kid stuff that's about to come up, I mean, that's so far away from their comedies. You're like wondering, like, how can their audience be so strongly divided? You know what I'm saying?
Do you know what I want to know here? First thing I need to know is how long has Amazon Prime been going with people
Prime?
Downloading? Yeah, with people downloading and being able to rent. It's been about 2 years
videos,
now.
Videos, that's fairly new.
Okay, maybe about a year.
With the most recent versions. Well, just before the most recent versions of their Kindles.
Okay, because I imagine that the audience for Amazon Prime is younger than Netflix, period. Because kids weren't having red envelopes delivered to them. Their parents were.
Yeah, but once they went streaming, Disney had a huge boost out of Netflix.
But it was recent that they bought Disney on. Maybe about a year ago?
No, they were there for maybe 2 years, I think.
Okay.
I definitely know that they've been deeply impacted by the returns from Netflix.
Right. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out if it's just too early to even know who their target is.
Well,
what are they basing this on?
I think Amazon's basing it on sales figures going all the way back to, you know, whatever, 95, 96.
Okay.
They know their audience. I mean, Netflix has frighteningly good analytics.
Oh, yes, they do, which they're keeping very secret.
Yes, and they should. They know, like, when you stop a show in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you watch it, they know their analytics look at like what gets watched during the daytime versus nighttime,
mm-hmm.
what gets watched the most by day of week.
They know.
So, I mean, they definitely are in there. I can't imagine that Amazon is that much further behind on the demographics of their audiences.
Okay. Well, then theirs is the Hangover crowd.
Yeah. So it's just, I just think it's interesting that the comedies are definitely that millennial, you know, slacker comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then their kid stuff is all
educational.
Just barely above preschool.
Right.
Really.
And educational.
You would think there would be more like Adult Swim or, I mean, not necessarily Adult Swim, but they might go for a little SpongeBob-y kind of stuff for their kid stuff, but it doesn't seem to show up at all.
Well, that's what stunned me.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
It seems like they're going for moms for kids. And
probably.
Teens for the comedy.
Probably. It surprised me. But anyway, so we had Those Who Can't. I think the title's funny. Misfit Teachers, you can't go wrong.
And I hadn't seen the Zombieland announcement, though.
You hadn't?
No.
Yeah, the last announcements that I saw about it, they were in negotiations.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, somebody told me that they're shooting it now.
Go Amazon. There's a pilot for a Zombieland comedy on Amazon.
Amen to that, and I'm looking forward to it because I'm zombie obsessed, but that's a whole nother story. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Like what you're listening to? Then shoot an email to podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com or leave a comment on our blog at yougetitgotitgood.com.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us during our Amazon Prime pilot pickup review. We look forward to bringing you NBC in a couple of days. Dan, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week, people.
All right.